Hey, and this is a new edition of This Is Silly with the ST Luligans. I'm Matt. This is Brad, and that's Mitch.
The ST Luligans.
The ST Luligans.
Oh, fantastic.
Live to tape.
ST Luligans. Are you sure it's not the St. Luligans?
I said it often enough.
It must be the ST Luligans.
Oh, fantastic.
All seriousness, thank you very much to 1380 The X for having me on for those two games. It was a lot of fun.
For those that don't know, Matt was able to be the color commentary for the past couple Bordeaux games.
It's been awesome. I mean, things that I can't get to, but I'm sitting there at the computer at night. I just hit that listen live button and... there's my friend Matt coming out of my computer speakers.
Like Steve McManaman was in your living room.
Without the mullet.
Without the Scouse accent.
But no, that was cool, and it's a great way for them to reach out to the fans.
It's just another thing.
And the best thing is that you could hear the guys going nuts on the sidelines. You guys, of course, it was called the ST Luligans when it was referenced, but it was being referenced that we were there in force and having a good time as well.
Yeah, it looked especially it was the last game the other night, mm-hmm. and looked like there was a nice crowd of Luligans there. There was a picture with the team taken, and
I was not involved in any of it. And I actually said I miss my friends because I could hear them over to the left. They're having a blast, and I'm like,
but you do what you do for the ST Luligans and spreading the word.
So Bordeaux ended up having a decent season.
For the first year, 500. Yep. Four wins, four losses, two draws, plus a couple of friendly wins as well.
Yeah.
It was good enough for fourth place.
Ended up fourth in the division, which for an expansion team.
Damn good.
Yeah.
We'll take it.
A couple teams below them, and they're right there mid-table.
Yeah, good team. Fair play to Sonny.
Minnesota, I think it is, they've been around for a handful of years. I mean, you know, the better teams have been there for a while. So to sit in fourth in a good division, that's nothing to shake a stick at.
In my professional researching duties before the game, that Eau Claire team's won it a few times. I mean, they've won that division a few times. So that they finished below the below Bordeaux, and they got spanked a couple of times this year. The game on Friday was probably the closest game they had this season. So I always thought that Bordeaux was going to beat them, but they made hard work of it, to be honest.
That's fun, though. That's the way it should be. I mean, a good way to end the season for them.
Yeah, and I mean, exactly. It's something for Sonny to build on coming back, when they're back next year, wherever they end up playing. I don't know if it'll be at SLU again, but it's something to build on and look forward to the future.
Yeah, absolutely. So speaking of another team whose season just ended recently.
Yeah.
Fire and Ice ended their season.
Yep. And, I don't know if we want to call it a sophomore slump. This year they were 5-4-1.
Third place in the division.
Yeah. I mean, not bad.
Part of it is that they were so damn good last year.
They set the expectations really high last year. They were amazing last year.
Fire the coach.
No.
We love Lindsay.
No, they still had still entertaining soccer. Unfortunately, I didn't get out to see the games this year, but everybody that did said it was still the same brand of exciting soccer. They go for it. A lot of come from behind games late made it interesting to watch from everything I've heard.
Yeah, it was sad to see them get their first home loss, having gone undefeated last year.
Yeah.
You knew that had to end at some point in time. But all in all, still a damn good season. I mean, if you look at that record over 2 years, that's a amazing team to have out the gate.
Yeah, and this season also they added the Chicago Red Stars, which is the professional women's team. Their reserve team joined their league. So, I mean, that was a good team coming in. You know, they faced different competition this year.
Yeah, I believe that Chicago team took first in the division two as well.
Yeah,
so
the WPSL website's kind of
wonky.
Unorganized right now. So, because teams are still finishing up games in different divisions. But good season to Fire and Ice. And, again, we will be looking forward to seeing them next year.
Okay, absolutely. Hopefully scheduling will be a little bit more cooperative with no World Cup going on.
Yeah, World Cup did take up quite a few days for us all this year. I know Matt was... probably watched every game of it, didn't you?
Yeah. I'm glad it's done, to be honest. I mean, I don't think I could have gone much further.
Your liver thanks you as well.
Yeah. I saw you posted that the other day, and my first reaction was, what do you mean you're glad it's over? And I was like, no, I know what you mean.
No, it's just,
you need a break.
And I couldn't describe it yesterday. I mean, I watched the final. It was in the Amsterdam, and it was hot, and it was packed, and it was stenching of BO, and I'm like, I can't. I'm 38 years of age. I can't do this anymore.
That's the hard part in all this, is that you're sitting there, and you look around, and there's 22, 23, 25-year-olds, and you're like, oh, shit, I'm old.
Well, yeah, and I mean, we've all got families, and you know, I made the joke on your page, I think it was. My wife's anxious to get the TV back.
Yeah, you got 2 more weeks of mountains.
Yeah, I'm watching Tour de France, but it's really, I would get home from work, and then I would watch 2 games at night because I was working and missed the games, and you know, my wife's like, "Don't you already know what happened?" Yes, but I have to watch it now. You know, so
I left after about 118 minutes. The thought of me standing there watching a bunch of Germans celebrate. I'm going to go home now.
We went to ITAP Chesterfield, and it was packed, too. We just happened to be in Chesterfield for another thing, so stopped by there. And it was more crowded there than it had been for any of the other matches we'd been there. So.
Which was good. We definitely want to thank ITAP and Amsterdam for their support during the World Cup here.
And pitchers on the east side. East side guys. They had a World Cup party there. And I know Jeremy from STLFC. I run out of vowels here. He went over there.
There are no vowels.
I know, that's what I mean. I ran out of vowels, so I had to spell that with no vowels.
The STLFC?
Yes. Yeah. Anyway.
St. Louis Football Club.
Right. The ST Football Club.
ST Louis Football Club.
Yeah.
How do you pronounce the city where you live, mate?
St. Louis, Missouri.
St. Louis.
St. Louis,
Mo.
Okay, so that takes care of Fire and Ice in Bordeaux. Both of those seasons are complete. We've got one more local team who has still got, well, they've actually got 3 more games to play.
St. Joe's fourth grade boys.
St.
Let's
Joe's
do
fourth
this.
Grade boys. No, our own St. Louis Lions. Their schedule got a little off kilter this year whenever the Chicago Inferno imploded. So
is that a fire joke? Inferno imploded?
No, it just...
The building collapsed?
No, that fire ran out of oxygen. It went out. So what they're doing is this week they're going up to Minnesota and they're meeting Thunder Bay and Winnipeg, kind of in a sort of halfway-ish position. And they're going to take care of 2 games there. And then Saturday is the final game of the Lions season, and we'd like you all to come out and join us. We're going to have an old-style tailgate. We're not going to be watching World Cup matches beforehand like we have
back
been.
Back in the barn.
Yeah, it's going to be out at the pavilion at Lions Park. Come on out. They're currently sitting third in the division.
Behind
Thunder Bay. The Menace has already clinched the
division.
Top
it's
of the
done.
Division. They're done. But the Lions can catch Thunder Bay, and Thunder Bay is one of the teams they're playing this week.
And Thunder Bay has 2 games in hand as well.
Right.
So they've already played 13, so the Lions have a lot of opportunity to catch them up here.
Right. They're only trailing by 3 points, and they've got 3 games left. So
one against that, like you said, against Thunder Bay. That'll be a big one. If you can get that win against them, that's a nice little leapfrog moment.
So Saturday we could be playing for that last playoff spot
against Springfield,
the Heartland Division. So, yeah, come out on Saturday. I think we're going to get out there starting. Game time is 5 p.m., but we're probably going to get out there at 3 and have a nice little tailgate and final hurrah for the season.
Old school.
Old school.
Plus, it's only going to be like 72 degrees.
Yeah, it's going to be nice weather. Petrillo's bringing some hot dogs and beer, and we're going to cook it up.
It's being catered by Petrillo.
Being catered by Petrillo, and as you know, he always makes it good.
You like his meat?
I love his meat.
You want it? Yeah. You want his meat?
Yes. How far are we going to go down this road?
Plenty. There's a lot more to go.
But no, so please, please come out for Saturday's Lions finale. We're going to have some fun.
I think so.
And I will have the new shirts there for sale. If you haven't picked up your pre-order, or if you'd just like to buy one of the new blue St. Louis, St. Louis, Fighting Chupacabra t-shirts.
How much are they, Brad?
They're $20.
And what does that money go to?
Me.
Yeah, all right.
No, that money's going to go towards buying more shirts, basically, because we want to get more people wearing the new shirts, and then we're going to use it to fund things like TIFO, tailgate.
Our vacation.
Our vacation. And when I say our vacation, I'm talking about our trip to Indianapolis, which Matt will talk about coming up soon.
How about now?
All right.
Go ahead.
Jeremy's been talking to me the last couple of days about helping subsidize the trip to Indianapolis. We're planning on August the 30th for the game against New York Cosmos, and we'd like to go down there and find out what they're doing their first year, what we can learn, and basically have a good time. The fact that they're playing the Cosmos as well, it's a storied team.
Neil deGrasse Tyson's coach of the Cosmos, right? Sorry.
None better nerd reference to be made today.
See, you learned something here on the St. Luligan's podcast.
I think John's a little confused.
Popular science show. Neil deGrasse Tyson hosts it. Cosmos.
Now he used to be a host.
He gave the thumbs
Pagan.
Up.
Yeah.
Yes, yes.
I was about to say, yeah.
Yes.
Since Carl
Sagan. Pele used to play for him. But now they've got. Does Raul play for them now? Did they ever sign him? Or was
no,
that?
But they do have Klumberson from the old Manchester United player. Klumberson.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway, continue. My bad joke interrupted.
And he's offered to help us out some way, either getting there or with hotels.
Is he talking about Neil deGrasse Tyson again?
That's right. We're all going to the Hayden Planetarium in New York.
And then stopping at the Creationism Museum.
Well, you know, you got to have balance, right?
Yeah. Fair and balanced.
You know, you want to see how it all began in a celestial sphere, and then you want to see what happens when Stone Age goat herders tell their story. I mean...
Okay.
Right. So anyway, we're going to Indianapolis.
Yes, to see Indy 11, which is an expansion team in NASL. And the reason we want to do that is we will be an expansion team next year.
Exactly.
And we can ask them what issues they've run into that they didn't expect or things to prepare us for.
Now, and so Jeremy's been real involved with this, and he wants to actually come with us. And he's offered to help either get us there or subsidize the hotels or but something along those lines. I've been looking at hotels, and I think there is a Candlewood Suites, which is about a 15-minute walk away, which will be great.
Awesome.
I think it's like $90 for a room, so split between two or three, it's pretty doable. I just don't know how many's going at this point. Yeah. I mean, I've got my tickets, I'm going.
I will. I'll put another link on our Facebook page to the Facebook event page. Mm-hmm. And so if anybody out there is listening is interested, I'm going to go. I still haven't bought my ticket. I'm going to do that this week. I don't know if you're going
to
go, Mitch.
I need to figure it out. It's my birthday weekend, so I don't know if...
Oh, we can have fun.
But no, yeah. I think right...
It's more about the guilt trip.
I think
the
right
family.
Now there's like 12 or 15 or so who say they're going to go.
It'd be nice to have 30 show up and...
Yeah,
force.
No, I think so.
I don't know. As I say, I don't know how many's going, so I don't know what to sell Jeremy regards to getting a hotel. I might just say to everyone, get your tickets, get your own hotel. We can get you there. At this point, something along those lines, but come with it. It's not. I don't want it to be a jolly. I don't want it to be a big old drinking session.
Yeah, this is not a party.
I'd like it to be somewhat educational. I mean, I've seen that the Indy 11 they won their first away game in the league this week, and a bunch of the supporters group went to the airport to meet the guys back off the plane. And it's things like that that we need to learn from.
I agree.
They also did a big TIFO. I know I was talking to Ryan Malshak and a couple other guys who really want to work on that, you know, at least for the home opener, a big TIFO. And, you know, right now I can do banners up to a certain size, but it really is a different animal once you get to the big TIFO. So that's something that I want to talk to their supporters about, you know, how you do this, how you do that. You know, we can talk to them about songs. We can talk to them about, you know, like I said, just little things that we're not thinking of right now that they can say, oh, something we never thought about, and then this happened.
Yeah.
You know, things like that. So, yes, it will be fun. Yes, we will have a few beers and enjoy the game, but it is
a
learning mission, yeah.
It's a business trip.
Yeah, it's tax deductible.
So, that's... Again, I'll post another link, but we're talking August 30th, and it's going to be a good game, first of all. I mean,
it's the Cosmos.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
You want to go see that. So.
I guess I won't wear my Cosmos jersey if I go.
No, I think we'll be sitting with the Brickyard Battalion their section. I mean, if you want.
Yeah, you can sit wherever you want. I mean, that's where I got my tickets. If, say, Brad, if, say, you want to go, but you want to go and stand opposite side of the field so you can get an overall view of things. Yeah. I mean, it, you're all adults, people. Do what you want.
Right.
So. That's the first time I've been called an adult in a long time.
So you can wear your Cosmos jersey, but I wouldn't sit
in
the Brickyard Battalion.
That was sarcasm.
Okay.
No worries.
Okay, so that's coming up. That's something to pay attention to.
You mentioned Chance, and it's a good time to bring up something that we had discussed online this weekend, and I kind of got started on a little bit today, is that we are going to have a forum on the website now at stlulligans.com/forum.
St. Lulligans.
Sorry. It's going to be, again, sticking with the business theme. Maybe it's business time. But, you know, it's going to be strictly not shooting the shit, not posting, you know, stupid Chelsea memes. It's going to be putting only conversations.
There's any other type.
Fair enough.
But it'll be directed sub forums with
yes. So,
chants
so,
or
so. For example, I set up a chant one this morning. Yeah. Nothing fancy, nothing to it. Registration has to be approved via email. You know, so we try to cut out a lot of the bots. If it gets difficult, I'll make it more difficult for people to register. But that's what we do to not have to deal with Viagra sales pitches.
Right.
So, you know, it's something that we're going to try to work on here and try to work through so we have something dedicated for this thing. Because on Facebook and things like that, it tends to fall off. It tends to get dropped behind other conversations that come up. This way, it's something hard and fast that you keep a thread, you have something going, and it works out.
Yeah.
So we'll be trying that out. Like I said, if it fails, it's easy to delete. If it works out, even better. And check it out.
I agree wholeheartedly. So, we'll be doing that. Next thing, let's talk about Second Shift Brewing.
Beer.
We like beer. Matt?
I'm partial.
Our friend Kyle Scarborough, if you listened to the podcast a long time ago, you'll know Kyle. He used to be a co-host.
Scarborough Tattoo,
which
Washington
is now
Tattoo Collective.
Washington Tattoo Collective. He does the labels for Second Shift Brewing.
And they're fancy as fuck.
The beer is kind of out close to him in Washington, Missouri. I think it's New Haven. There we go. John's here for a reason.
He is the beer lady.
anyway, Kyle's been doing some labels for them. Talked to them about our group. Said, you know, some brewers have a beer for supporters groups. And lo and behold, we're going to do it. We're getting our own beer.
Yay!
It's going to be Brewligans.
Kyle made a badass label for
it. It's a really cool label. It's going to be coming out soon. And if you want to know what the beer is, the first version is going to be a session IPA. And if you've been to ITAP during the World Cup, they've been serving something called Eyeballs from Second Shift. It's pretty much that beer. That's going to be the first one. And
it's damn tasty.
Real tasty. It's less than 5%, so you can drink many of them.
And it's not super hoppy, so if you're like me and not a big IPA person, it's highly enjoyable.
And then they may do different styles of beer throughout the year, giving it the Brewligan label. So that's something to look forward to.
We got our own label.
And we're going to do a big event whenever it does officially come out, and that'll be the next event, kind of like we had with STLFC last week. We'll invite them. We'll invite new people. We'll kind of make it a big deal, and everyone will be invited.
And drink beer.
And it'll be with our partners, ITAP.
Yay.
Oh, but you see, a lot of these supporters groups now have their own beer, so it just makes us more legit.
Yep.
And it's nice, too, because when you see it, it's a lot of the larger, it's the Emerald City supporters, it's Timbers Army, it's the teams in MLS, it's their supporters groups. You don't see a lot of them as you go further down the ranks. So for, you know, a group that still doesn't technically have a team until the first game is played, that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, it's pretty nice. I think so.
Not that anything's going to happen between now and April with STLFC, but just saying. It has yet to kick off.
Yes. Another thing to talk about is if you are a user of Reddit, Travis Cooper started a new subreddit dedicated just to St. Louis FC. It's reddit.com/r/
I think it's St. Louis FC spelled out as S-A-I-N-T Or S.T. Lewis.
It might be S.T. Lewis.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Reddit's a forum thread or forum site.
It's an aggregate.
Basically, anything you want to know about, there's a specific subreddit for that. So he's created one for FC St. Louis.
There's St. Louis one. There's St. Louis FC. Blues one. There's Ask Reddit.
There's probably a million different Manchester United pages. So.
Yes. There's soccer. There's MILF porn if you're into that. It's whatever you want.
How do you spell Reddit again?
REDDIT.
Yeah.
.com/r/MILF porn.
So if you're already on Reddit or if you'd like to check it out, just search for Reddit STLFC and I'm sure it will come up
FC.
In Google.
St. Louis FC. And not only that, but he did set up in these subreddits, you can have what they call Flair, a little icon next to your username when you post. They were nice enough to set up a Luligan Flair. So when Brad or I post, or Keith or anybody else that's already been in there, Luligan.
And they added the Fighting Chupacabra logo too. So now you can have a Chupacabra
nice.
Next to you if
I
you
might
want
have to change it. I can't ever go wrong with the Fighting
Still
Chupacabra.
Still no idea what you guys are talking about.
Okay, so tomorrow when the wife's gone and the kid's taking a nap,
I'll send you a link and you can go check it out.
And then go to the not safe for work categories.
I made mention of it, but let's go ahead and talk about it now.
Are we already going to the big reveal?
Maybe. I don't know. I don't know what your idea of the big reveal is. But let me say, this is post-World Cup, and instead of talking this whole episode about World Cup, what we're going to do is we're going to wait because Ryan Smith, who was actually in Brazil for the World Cup, is going to be a special guest along with Andy from American Outlaws, and we're going to do like a whole World Cup review,
episode. Yeah,
whatever you want to call it, talk about American Outlaws issues. Brian can tell us some stories from Brazil.
Tranny stories.
Whatever happened in Brazil.
He's got a beard. He's not getting away with that.
Yeah.
I don't care how good you look in the dress.
Was he posing as a lady?
Is that not where you were going with this?
I wasn't saying he was the lady boy. Right. I was saying he invited the lady boys
so
around.
Those who are wanting our genius takes on the World Cup, which if you haven't read it, Matt put up a great, great article on the website about how his predictions were spot on.
Oh, man. I nailed it.
Yeah.
You and everybody else.
Which it really was a great World Cup as far as surprise endings and things like that. Great World Cup. But we're going to do a whole episode devoted to just the World
That's
Cup.
That's right. I can't start talking about it because we'll be here for half an hour. So yeah. We'll just do it next time.
Yeah. So that'll be the next episode probably in about 2 weeks. And then the episode after that, hopefully, we will have a special guest from St. Louis FC. One of my personal heroes when I was growing up as a kid. The defenseman for the St. Louis Steamers and now president, head honcho, I don't know what his actual title is, of the St. Louis FC, Steve Betcher.
So there you go.
So we're going to have a lot of good episodes coming up, so it's worth listening to in case you didn't do that already. And if you didn't do that already, you probably didn't hear any of this.
And then just after a month, Community Shield.
It won't be long.
No, I know, right?
Wow, holy
33
shit.
Days
yeah.
away.
Yeah.
Is it really?
To the 16th of August.
Yeah, I was looking at my schedule, and I was thinking of things we can do, you know, get-togethers to meet new people. And I was like, well, the MLS Cup final. I was like, oh, no, wait, that's not till November. It's like, Premier League starts soon. I was like, oh, geez, Premier League starts
three weeks.
Oh, my so, God. Yeah, so we will be having some events coming up. And we'll let you know in the usual ways what those are going to be.
The big news out of Newcastle is that they may be getting rid of Wonga on the front of the shirts.
Ah. Eee. The bigger news is they may be getting rid of Debushi and sending him to Arsenal.
He signed, right?
Did he sign?
I think so.
Yeah.
Okay. Right. Woo.
We've actually had a pretty good offseason for once. Nike didn't leave us.
Yeah, well. Like a rock.
See this little Adidas?
You're going wholesale into the Adidas world now?
Okay. Some of those questions will come up in our viewer questions or listener questions. So we'll get to that. But
Viewer questions.
Yeah, people sometimes look at their computer while they listen to the podcast.
They're looking at pictures of us talking.
They have their own slideshows.
Pretending that
pictures.
It's us talking.
Right. I was going to talk about Wednesday night. Did you?
Are you ready for it? I mean, that's a big topic.
That's the big topic. Yeah, I think so. Or do you want to do the viewer or listener questions first?
Do any of the listener questions regard Wednesday night?
Not really.
Well, let's do those first.
Okay.
That'll break it real evenly and nicely here time-wise.
First question, how was Wednesday night? No. Lucas Dykhouse, and I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly, wanted to know, has there been an announcement made about the MLS affiliation with STLFC? and that does touch on Wednesday night a little bit.
We can mention that part now.
They cannot officially say who their partner is. The paperwork is signed. The deal is done. But there, as you all know, a big collective bargaining agreement is coming up with MLS this season, or at the end of this season.
And it's a big one, too. This is
a lot of things are in play now because, you know, ESPN had the highest ratings ever for the World Cup. I'm sure they're going to bring that in. Attendance numbers are good, save Chivas USA or whatever they're going to be. There's going to be a lot of pushback from the players' union to get a much higher salary cap.
And they have a leg to stand on now. I mean, the money is starting to come in a little bit. You're getting a higher quality of player coming over with the DPs that you didn't the last time around. Not that they had bad DPs before, but, I mean, you know, you've got Thierry Henry staying here for a couple of years. You've got Kaká coming over.
The league's moving in the right direction, and it only makes sense that the players are going to want more money. So it's going to be a sticky negotiation. I hope they'll just get it done. They won't go to a lockout or a strike situation. But anyway, while that's all playing out, they're going to wait to announce the official MLS affiliate until that's smoothed over and settled.
And as you if you have to think, that if the MLS keeps climbing, it'll drag the pyramid up with it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, so as the quality of MLS goes up, so will our level of soccer.
Definitely,
you know, so.
Definitely.
And yeah. It is improving. It really is.
Oh, no, absolutely. I mean, and MLS has gotten good players not only domestically but internationally as well, and that's a big part of it.
And I'm going to give MLS.com some credit here because they were talking about a World Cup bump and go and watch your local
He's
team.
He's talking about the Realty website?
Yeah, yeah. Buy a house and then... So, and they were talking about go watch your local team, and they didn't just mention MLS. They were mentioning every single league.
Yeah.
You know, and...
And I will say U.S. Soccer did a good job with that during the World Cup. They created a bunch of graphics for the NASL teams, for the uh-huh. MLS teams, and for the USL Pro teams. And you might have seen it if you follow STLFC on Twitter or Facebook. They put out a couple things, you know, for club and country that had
STLFC yeah.
logo and the United States national team logo. That all came from U.S. Soccer, uh-huh. and they put that out really emphasizing that, you know, the future of U.S. soccer is coming from your local club, and go out there and support them. So that was good.
And the pyramid is, I don't think, has ever been stronger as it is right now.
Oh, there's no question.
And part of that, I think, is NASL being competitive, wanting to compete. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
They're not satisfied with being a second division league. They want to improve. They want to compete with MLS. Now, I don't think they'll ever get there. I think MLS is definitely, you know, a number one league.
But
they have ambition.
And they spring enough surprises in the Open Cup, you know?
Right.
So.
And USL Pro, by that matter, they want to prove that they're really worthy of a second division sort of title too. So everybody's competing hard to be the, you know, the best they can be. So it helps everybody.
Well, and when you look at the history of the MLS, all these teams that have gotten promoted recently, for lack of a better word, you know, they're the teams that worked hard. They did the right thing.
You call it promotion. I call it gouged.
Well, yeah. That's, yes. True.
But I mean, that's the only way that teams are technically getting promoted in the American soccer pyramid is to buy into it.
But most of them do have a long history going back to the 70s of some level of soccer in the United States.
Yes.
I'm sorry. I didn't know that was a question.
Well, no, it's funny because you had a look on your face where it's like, okay, Bert's going to say something really smart. And no, he's not.
No.
Nah.
No.
I overvalued you. I'm sorry.
So, Lucas, your question is, no, we do not have an official MLS affiliation yet. But I will say if you've listened to our podcast, there might be a pretty good chance you know who it is anyway. We've made, you know, some hints and things.
I love the song Fire Woman by The Cult.
Yeah, yeah. And, I mean, just as a general PSA, don't yell fire in a crowded theater.
That's a good idea.
The CH Chicago.
So,
it really doesn't.
There is no official MLS affiliate to name. But you can, you know, we're sitting in Section 8.
We are.
Yeah. It would be neat if.
It's a coincidence.
That is kind of a coincidence. Really? That's all I'll say.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We're in public housing.
Yes. Next question. Sam Thomas from the Fire and Ice. He's their goalies coach. He wanted to know if we had anything to say about Premier League signings. There have been a couple of big ones. And I guess along with that, let's just throw in just big signings for any league, La Liga. I mean, I guess the biggest news is La Liga, Barcelona signing, you know, Baidi.
I think your mob getting Sanchez is a bit better deal.
No, absolutely. Definitely. But as far as headlines go, which to me, that deal was going to be done regardless. It just so happened he bit somebody and he's going to be suspended for a couple months.
That's the crazy thing is that they're willing to accept that suspension as part of the purchase.
Barcelona's on a spending spree. There are rumors today that they're signing James, which I think James wants to go to Real. I think that's his preferred destination, but Barcelona's spending like crazy. I mean, they sold Sanchez for relatively cheap. I mean, considering.
Here's my issue. They had Zlatan. That didn't work out because Messi wanted to play down the middle. They had David Villa. It kind of worked out for a couple of years, but he got moved out wide because Messi wants to be the glory boy and play down the middle. Is Suarez going to play out wide and let Messi be the goal scorer again? And.
Well, yeah, and we know Suarez is his own, you know, special piece of work. So,
but the kid, he for all his faults, he knows where the goal is.
Great
you know?
Player. No,
if
nobody.
If you took
will.
The insanity away from him, he would be top player without a question.
Yeah, no, yeah, nobody's going to doubt his ability and his nose for the goal. He's got it.
But you know, he's probably excited. He's going to a racist country.
So, but that actually kind of leads me to something. Is that. With all these signings, Barcelona is kind of the new Real Madrid. I mean,
the whole Medellin club that they just throw it out the window. As far as I'm concerned,
soon as UNICEF came off the shirt and they started taking the Qatar money, and
it was over. I mean, it was
going and getting Neymar.
I mean, I understand why they did.
Well,
it.
Well, sure,
but. Sure.
But there's the Neymar deal. We'll never know what happened with that. There's levels to that contract that will never be seen by the light of day.
Santos got checked for $15. Like, well, what happened there?
Yeah, exactly. we'll see how Baidi does down in Spain and how he gets along with Messi. That's
now, Sanchez, is he a winger or is he a forward?
He's a winger, but.
I mean, he can score goals.
Right. Maybe at Arsenal, they push him into the center. I mean, you know, you just said how Messi likes to play through the middle.
Uh-huh.
So maybe they tucked him out as a winger, you know, because to fit with Messi. So maybe at Arsenal, he becomes a true striker. I don't know. But yeah. Anyway.
Because you're also going to have Walcott coming back as well.
Got Walcott coming back. I mean, that's the funny thing. We've got so many midfielders that, we had the opportunity to sign Fabregas back, and we were like, no.
Yeah.
You know, let the special one have him and see how that goes.
Oh, I forgot about him. Yeah, he's gone to Chelsea as well.
Yeah, he's at Chelsea.
Well, they've got 1,001 midfielders, too.
Yes, they do.
Let's talk about this signing. How good did Mourinho do getting £50 million for that dog and pony show?
Amazing. Amazing.
I bet he couldn't put – I bet he drove him to Heathrow.
Speaking of funny memes, there have been a lot of good ones of Chelsea saying – Mourinho saying no refunds.
No receipt.
Yeah. Good bit of business there.
Tim Vickery, who works on the BBC World Cup phone-in show, he's always said from day one, even when Luis was at Benfica, he's like – this guy is not top-notch. He makes a lot of mistakes. He runs around like a headless chicken. He looks good, but don't be fooled.
Right.
And even on his debut at Chelsea, he gave a penalty away. He scores the odd goal, and that makes you forget the bad stuff. He's not all that. And and then some.
Well, no, $50 million, you take that any day of the week for that player.
I would have Vermaelen in my team over Luis.
Well, and I think they only paid $30 million for Fabregas. So that's like, here, trade these two guys and we'll give you $20 million.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So,
but it's a big old up yours as well to UEFA from PSG, isn't it?
Yeah. So. Well, that was the other thing somebody talked about, the Suarez. The player who's banned for 2 months was sold to the team that can't have any transfers for two years, or whatever.
That's another issue. Yeah. Where's Barcelona getting their money from?
Well, that's the whole thing with the Spanish, with Madrid, too. The banks just give them money.
Well, it's like a never-decreasing circle. You've got Bayern Munich paying tax to German banks to lend money to Spanish banks to give to Real Madrid to beat Bayern Munich. It's just one big circle.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And then you even get into the television deal where those two teams get more than everybody else.
See, and if I was like Levante or Valencia or Seville, I'd be like, no, you need us just as much as you need anyone else.
You have to have somebody to win against. Yeah.
Unfortunately, they've taken the weak position of, oh, give us anything and we'll be happy. Versus, like you're saying, no, you wouldn't be anybody if you didn't have us to beat.
But in the generals,
the Washington Generals.
Yeah.
7 years ago, Serie A was on its backside, you know, and they looked at the Premier League and saw how they did it, because in the past it used to be AC Milan, Juventus got all the money, and they've gone, no, for the good of the league, this is what we need to do.
Well, there was also kind of a whole illegality thing going on there too, as
well.
Well,
I was gonna say, but you know, back, I mean, 6-8 years ago,
they still have their paper bags full of money.
Yeah,
that they don't count. Oh, okay. but you're right. The revenue sharing, they've looked into that, and and we see what happened in Scotland. I mean, they were always a two team league. Well, you get rid of one of the two.
Well, the best league in Scotland isn't going to be the Scottish Premier League next year, because Hearts, Hibs, and Rangers are all in the.
Exactly, you're right.
But anyway, back to transfers. Here's a you know, last year I had no idea who Andres Herrera was. Now I can't live without a guy.
Yeah, well, and that's the thing with these, you know, transfer windows and the World Cup. I mean, we can talk about that aspect of the World Cup.
A guy like James Rodriguez is all of a sudden on everybody's tongue.
Which I knew who he was, but it wasn't. I'm like, oh my God, I want to see more of this kid now. You know,
it wasn't. He should have won the Golden Ball.
He had an amazing World Cup.
Messi just won that just because he was Messi.
Yeah, absolutely.
He didn't deserve it.
No. And I think he knows that too as well. From
his
statements.
Oh yeah, he knew it.
Yeah.
Where he's like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
Although the Golden Glove or whatever the hell it's called for keepers. It's kind of a creepy trophy if you see it.
It was horrible, wasn't it?
It's a giant Adidas glove.
Massive high five trophy.
Well, and the worst thing is that a lot of times when the guys are standing there, they cradle it under their arm, and they're kind of holding it up. It looks like it's groping him. It looks like it's giving him a titty grab. And it's kind of like, that's really awkward looking.
Yeah.
Just on that, I've seen a lot of, like, best World Cup 11s and stuff. And I seen one today, and it had Timmy Howard in goal, and I'm like, guys, he was okay, but Ochoa was way better.
He was. Ochoa was amazing.
You know, if you're
going
to pick.
And even, is it Natal? Who was the keeper for?
Navas.
That's who I'm thinking of. He had a great tournament, too.
I mean, sure, absolutely.
I mean, all right. I mean, he was no Casillas or Akinfeev, but. But Ochoa, for me, it was superb.
Oh,
Howard had that one game against Belgium where he broke the record for most saves ever, and he stood on his head that game. He had other good games, but I agree. I think Ochoa or Navas were probably the better keepers.
But also, Nauer is the best keeper in the world right now.
Yeah, it's hard to give it to him, or for me, because a lot of times he didn't have a whole lot to do.
That's true, yes, too.
That's the biggest part.
But
he came running out of his box all the time. He was like, I need to do something here. So.
Well, yeah,
Mitch and I joked about it. He played sweeper more than keeper.
He was like false five.
False five.
But it's great, though, because it gives him that opportunity to transition the ball further up the field much quicker. I mean, you watch something like that happen where he's coming up and he's almost to the half circle.
In the Brazil game, he did play the center circle.
Yeah. Well, I know we weren't going to talk about the World Cup, but, you know, Germany for me is the team I wanted England to emulate for years.
Yeah, I think everybody should.
Six straight semifinals is amazing.
Yeah. I mean, they are, you know, as the old joke goes, they're the machine.
Yeah,
they are a machine.
Yeah.
And they're tactically.
And the funny thing is, Ozil looked like a piece out of the puzzle.
Oh my God, yes.
Because he's too creative. I think Mitch and I were talking about it. He doesn't fit that machine role.
Because he creates opportunities, he doesn't.
He
work
sees
an
things and he goes and does it, and it's like, no, you're supposed to be where you're supposed to be.
Uh-huh.
So I think that's why Ozil doesn't quite fit that German role. Saying that, he got a World Cup medal, so you know,
it's one more than we got.
Yeah.
Next question, Bradley.
Well, a couple other. Just I wanted to mention this. Funny to me that before the World Cup, if you'd have said to me, you know, which part of the United States team are you most worried about?
Oh, it'd have been
the back line.
Yeah.
Exactly. Who's getting the most run out of the United States players as far as transfer go? Yedlin maybe going to AS Roma.
And you know what? But he only played 119 minutes.
No, and I mean, he had a good World Cup. I don't know if I'd be throwing buckets of cash at him like they're
going
to.
He had a decent lead-up, though.
He seems to be flavor of
the month.
He's
young, got lots of potential. Right. Beasler's getting a lot of talk that, you know,
steady. Couple
people in Germany are looking at him. Couple clubs in England are looking at him.
He's confident. That's one of the big things.
Nobody's chasing Beasley. He's too old.
No.
But our two defenders and Fabian Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
He got hurt that last game, but Fabian Johnson may have been, save Jermaine Jones. Maybe Jermaine Jones was our best player in the tournament, but Fabian Johnson had a hell of a World Cup.
Jermaine
Jones
was the biggest surprise.
Funniest thing I heard was on a British radio show. When they're talking about Glenn Johnson and, you know, is he the best right back and blah, blah, blah. The guy just said he's not even the best right back called Johnson.
Yeah, Fabian had a great World Cup. So, you know. And then, okay, so now we can go on to the next question.
Are you sure?
Yeah. So there's still going to be a lot of transfer news coming now that the World Cup's over. You're going to get a lot of moves from these guys.
These next 2 weeks should be a flurry.
A lot of guys didn't want to talk about it during the World Cup. They were waiting to hopefully their stock to go up, and we'll see what happens.
Well, they also don't want to be distracted.
True. The Field Sports Complex sent us a message. They wanted me to mention that Piasaw tryouts are Saturday 11 to 1 and Sunday 1 to 3. And just as a related note, we know that Piasaw are changing their name to the Adrenaline. I think you have to say it like that, too.
What if it was adrenaline?
No, I like to call it the adrenaline.
That. Does it require the mm-hmm. accented?
Yeah. Yeah.
The little
of
growl
course.
In the voice?
Yes. Yes. So I said it that way, dumbass.
I got nothing to say about that. just nothing to
yeah,
say.
They're part.
I think they needed a revamp. Yeah, it's a good look to them.
Yeah, Matt's no longer involved. Their colors are changing to the teal. Of the Ambush because they're related somehow. Uh-huh. Not owned by the same guy, but they're partnering together.
Like affiliate
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. Next question.
Pro soccer.
Pat Mahoney. He wanted to.
Can we start calling him Balls Mahoney?
Balls Mahoney?
Yeah.
He wanted us to. He has a three-parter here. One of them was the forum pros and cons, so we've already covered that. The next one was fashion and new kits. He wanted us to talk about the new kits coming out and what we think of those.
I hate United.
Yeah.
Hated the gun with the whole bellhop collar little button thing again.
Yeah.
And the giant Chevy logo.
Giant gold Chevy logo.
The amount of money they're throwing at them. I'd want my logo to be giant as well.
But it's gaudy. It is.
All right, Wonga.
That's true.
Fair enough.
Sorry.
As an Arsenal fan, I'm not. I don't really like the new Puma kits.
I don't. They don't look right.
They're going to be tight too, because Puma's kits are always tight. So nobody wants to see me walking around in one of those. So I don't know. When they come out and I actually see them, I may like them better.
I think they go up to 3X though.
I hope so.
I think they do.
Yeah.
Go
but you're going to need it to get an XL size because it's Puma. There's a reason I haven't bought a Puma kit yet.
Yeah.
Just saying.
Other ones this year that have come out.
I do like United in a way, having the Adidas stripes. It kind of has that
next
old
year.
School.
Next
retro,
year.
Yeah.
Next
we're
year. Nike. We're Nike.
Yeah, they're still Nike.
I know, but I'm just saying when they come out.
Oh,
yeah.
I can't wait.
The white with the red, it's very Liverpool. I'm sure you'll be proud of that.
We've not. United haven't had Adidas kit since 1992.
Yeah. So. I think we're all Adidas kit fans, aren't
we?
I mean,
yeah.
I always like them.
They're always, they can either go classic or even their cutting edge style is not gaudy.
Speaking of cutting edge, Looks like Warriors got a brand new awesome one for Liverpool this year. I mean, Jesus. The Warrior has to be like the worst kids.
Looks like an explosion at a paint factory.
Yeah. Warrior has to be the worst.
And
kids.
You know what? I'm happy with Adidas because.
Yeah, oh yeah. I would be.
Warrior were in the running.
Ooh.
But you know what? They're dumbasses. Warrior Twitter feed posted that the World Lacrosse Championships is better than the World Cup. I'm like, you do understand you provide kits, right?
Right.
For and soccer you're, teams. You're and, trying to get into that market.
And arguably, your biggest property, Liverpool. They're not fans who take things like that lightly.
Oh no,
you
no,
know
yes.
So.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the 30 for 30 documentary on the whole, shit.
I can't talk about that because yeah. I have my own opinions and they will hound me off the air. They will hound me.
But I'm just saying they don't give up.
No, and I mean
you remember the whole Stephen Cohen thing?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
that's
yep.
Let's just let it
yes,
let it
because
lie
we're
there.
Definitely on that level with this podcast.
They will find you and they will hunt you down.
Yeah. Pat Mahoney, he also wanted to say
Balls Mahoney.
Wanted to mention the piece that I wrote on our website the other day.
Fantastic, by the way.
Well, I'm not bringing it up because I want praise. I'm bringing it up because we want people to know these are things that we're going to get scrutinized for, you know, as we move up in league.
It's not just the team that has to prove themselves.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. What I will say is that I am a 38-year-old husband and father. You know, I'm not 22 years old anymore. I'm not. That's not what I'm about. And you're the same, Mitch. You're the same, Brad. Yeah. You look like you've got a bit of fight in your John still. But, I mean,
we like to go and have fun at the games. And yes,
for those that haven't read it.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah. Brad wrote a very, very well-spoken article about that. We need to show our level of class at games. We can be rowdy and strong supportive, but we're not fighting. We're not doing what happened in Orlando City where they tried to steal scarves.
That's
and
what
stuff
started
like
this. Four idiots who may or may not really
sounds like
even,
they're unaffiliated.
They may not really even be in one of the supporters groups. Invaded the away supporters section and started some shit, and there were fights, and consequently, those four were banned for life, which I think we all agree. But the supporter groups for Orlando City, both of them were suspended indefinitely. That means they can't tailgate. They can't bring in TIFO. They can't do organized things.
Until they agree.
Yeah. There's a certification process that the groups will have to go through now to become official supporters groups. So these are the kind of things that as we move forward, yes, we have a great relationship with Jeremy and with the front office of St. Louis FC. But it's something we can't take for granted. It's something that, you know, we have to watch the new people who are coming in and make sure they're not there. You know, I mentioned in the article, you know, if you've seen Green Street Hooligans a few too many times and you want to act it out, that's not what we're about, you know. And we will sever ties with individuals like that. So,
And the good thing is, too, is that after Brad wrote that, Jeremy reached out to us and was incredibly pleased with the article and the tone that it set. And you know, we as we discussed it, he mentioned, you know, well, this is one of those things, how do you handle this kind of incident? How do you handle that between our relationships? And my answer was, I think we just did, is that we set a precedent, we set a line in the sand that we don't want to cross. And if something happens with an outsider that we don't know who comes and throws a bottle or does something stupid, and it's not ours, he understands our position, we understand his position, we're all going to work well together. The problem becomes if it's one of our people that act out. If somebody's had too much to drink and makes a scene and really takes it too far, that's what we're trying to avoid most of all, too, as well, that we're going to have to police ourselves as much as we're watching the people we don't know.
Yeah. Well, and like I told Jeremy, I mean, unfortunate, yes, because 99% of the people that were at that Orlando City game did nothing wrong and they're being punished. But really, the team had to do something. They had to make a strong statement that kind of behavior won't be tolerated. And unfortunately, yeah, some good people are going to get punished in the process, but I really, the team's getting a lot of grief from the supporters now for cracking down on them when they didn't do anything wrong. And
guilty by association. Yeah. And if Orlando hadn't have done anything, the league would have.
Exactly.
You know,
exactly.
And they have to be seen to be taking action because, you know, the ultimate sanction in across the pond is you play in front of an empty stadium.
Right.
You know, I mean,
right.
I've been to probably, I don't know, 1,000 soccer games in my life, and I've never been in a fight. You know, there's no need, let's be honest.
Yeah.
Well, and that's the thing, too. It's as much as we love it and as intense it as is, it's nothing worth fighting over.
No.
You know, unless somebody is assaulting my child or family member, there's really no reason for me to get into a fight at this age.
Yeah.
And if you're younger than me and you think differently, you know, I'm sorry to hear that, but we don't give a shit. We're not going to do this stuff.
No, you just won't tolerate it.
No.
I don't think there'll be the away supporter culture over here that there is what I grew up with, but I mean, I get it that it was Tampa Bay and Orlando, and they're very close.
It was, yeah.
That's part of the situation,
rivalry,
too.
It was a friendly.
There was problems last year.
But if someone drives 5 hours from Louisville, the last thing they want to do when they get off a bus is get a mouthful of abuse. I mean,
right.
We have to be welcoming, open arms. We don't want that reputation. We don't want to be.
Yeah, and that's the thing. We're going to invite
Millwall.
We want those guys to be invited to the tailgate to come have a beer and food with us beforehand. As soon as we get through those gates, it's a different story. But then afterwards, come back to the same tailgate with us and hang out.
I mean, that's the thing. I mean, we can have friendly banter, just like if Matt, you and I were at the Amsterdam for an Arsenal-Manchester United game. We can give each other shit, but still be friends.
Yep. And I think that actually happens a lot more in the U.S. than it does when I grew up. It's a lot more easier here in America for that aspect. And I don't think America's soccer's really had to deal with a lot of issues like this. So they're kind of making it up as they go along.
Well, I think the good thing is that American sports have already gone through that at some points in time. I'm sure John and Matt Brown and those guys can back me up when I say there was a time when the Blues would play the Blackhawks and there would be fights on the ice, fights in the stands, fights in the parking lot. But that shit's been phased out. People just don't.
Well,
it's not worth it.
Well, you know what? But if let's say Michigan State wins the NCAA Final Four, East Lansing's going to be on fire the next day. I mean,
East Lansing's going to be on fire a lot of times.
No, it happened. Things happen. I mean, Detroit. Yes. When Detroit was winning their NBA championships, there were fires.
Let's not use Detroit.
Well,
as
no,
an example.
I know. Well, hell, the Lakers fans rioted when they won their
City
first
of Champions.
Well, I used to live in Detroit, and I'm a big Red Wings fan. So the first time
Fuck out of my house.
The first time they won the Stanley Cup.
Now John's gonna fight
The first time they won the Stanley Cup. I mean, there was a bit of a riot.
Did you notice
the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth time?
I was gonna say, did you notice the little gleam in his eye when he said the first time? It was like, I know where this is going.
I did too. I did too. And
so yes, we want to have a healthy, friendly rivalry with our opponents. But
no, seriously, get the fuck out of my house now.
But I mean, even like we do now, when we have a good game and we're making fun of a player on the opposing team, if all goes right after the game, he usually comes over and smiles and claps and says, you got me, you know, or, you know, that was a good one. There's never hatred involved. There's never, you know.
Well, a case in point, I was at the Amsterdam for the World Cup final, and the guy came up to me, and I can't remember his name to save my life. Maybe Aaron, whatever. And he started talking to me about the Bordeaux game.
Matt Bird Ambassador.
Yeah. I might have had a few. And he was talking to me about the Bordeaux game, and I'm like, who are you? And he was the ref. He was the Lino.
Yeah, okay.
And he was not the Lino, but he was a different assistant referee. And he was like, you guys gave me grief. You did this, you did that. I'm like, hang on, dude. I was in the doing my thing over here.
Yeah.
But
this was just an opportunity for him to talk about being a broadcaster again.
You know, one day you two can have your own little brick hut at SLU High School.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that's what you want. You want them to come up to us afterwards and just talk like human beings, you know?
Well, and you mentioned Lino, our friend who, I don't know his real name, but we call him Lino. because he seemed like every week he was the lino at the Lions game or at the Fire and Ice game. He loved it. I mean, you know, my favorite thing was when somebody would say something and you could see the back of his head.
He's like
was shaking just a little bit because we got him. He was laughing, you know. And then when you'd talk to him after the game, he would always shake your hand and he would always, you know. Yeah. I mean, we want that kind of craziness in the stands. Not
except for the racist
violence.
Referee.
Well, he was a different piece of work. Next up is from Pat Ryan. He had a lot of fun at our ITAP events and wants to know, are we going to do any future events at ITAP? Mitch, do you want to answer this?
Since goddamn right we are.
Okay.
That's the first answer.
ITAP is officially our partner bar now.
And they've been incredibly pleased with everything that's gone on. We'll come back to Wednesday night again later. But, you know, Mike, the bartender out at Chesterfield, was up there yesterday in plain clothes, not working. And it was funny, we came in and he waved us over. He goes, guys, here's a table over here just for you. You know, it was funny. The place is crowded. There was an opening. He made sure there was a space for us. He came over. You know, we talked for a while. He was excited to see us. You know, they really appreciate what we're bringing, mainly loads of cash to drink beer. But
well, but the owners and managers are soccer fans, and they're loving this opportunity now. They've been trying for years to become more of a soccer bar. And
this has worked out well.
And so we're bringing some of our fans, and it's helping them. Like I said, yesterday, it wasn't because of Luligans. I mean, there were a ton of people there that I'd never seen packing the place for the World Cup final. And that's what they want. They want, you know, obviously Amsterdam is the go-to, you know, hardcore soccer fans bar and always will be.
But this town's big enough for more than one.
Well, yeah, especially because we know it's hard to get into Amsterdam for a big game. You know, the World Cup was a perfect example of, I mean, the Amsterdam. I thought at first it was just the USA games, but then they were posting pictures. No, Colombia, half of Colombia is there.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, Holland and Germany, you know, tons of people from each of those.
Wearing lederhosen.
Yeah, I mean, Bob was wearing lederhosen. I mean, so, you know, Amsterdam has earned its place as
that game,
the soccer
with
bar.
Bob and his lederhosen. When England got knocked out 2 months ago, when they got knocked out, I was watching it with a bunch of English people. And then I was watching it with American Outlaws when America got knocked out. And I was with my buddy Carlos when Mexico got knocked out. And my Brazilian brother-in-law sat there next to me, ashen-faced. And it's me.
It's you.
Sorry.
So you're not allowed to watch any of the...
you should be happy I'm a Red Wings fan. I'm a goddamn jinx.
Yeah, when you count it off earlier, it doesn't work that way. But enjoy not being in Champions League with us this year.
Yeah.
So
we'll find it out for the Capital One Cup.
That's right.
Yes, we will definitely be doing more stuff.
There's a great story to relate here. So when the first... Let me backtrack here. The first USA game... Nobody got into Amsterdam because we didn't get there.
It was 5 p.m., so when people got off work, Amsterdam was already packed.
They'd been packed since 3 o'clock. Yeah. So we went to ITAP, and there were some guys at a back table who heard us doing the Tim Timmery Howard.
Yeah.
And they thought it was hysterical.
Yeah.
So the next game, no room, we go back to ITAP. We heard all of a sudden there are some guys in the back doing this chant. And they're not doing it right because they're not doing the Tourette stutter, but okay. So I'm outside, and one of them goes, hey, you guys were here last time. Come here, come talk to us. And I'm like, you guys were here last time. And like, yeah. I'm like, were you guys just doing the Tim Howard chant? Yeah, we learned it from you last time. And it's like, these kids were just showing up just to kind of get into the USA thing. And all of a sudden, they are learning the chant. They're hardcore into it. They're asking what we're doing next. It was... great salesman moments to get these people involved, and it's going to be awesome next year.
Yeah, oh yeah, happy about that.
Okay, I tailed off, and Brad's already moved on to the next subject. Thanks.
No. We did meet a lot of new friends during the World Cup, both at Amsterdam. I was at Amsterdam for two games. I was at ITAP for one game, and I was at my damn house for the other game.
I tell you what, yesterday I wish I was at my house. I mean. There's only so many times you can just stand there in 100-degree heat under that tent. It's like a furnace.
Yeah,
I'm glad. I'm glad for Lyle and the guys there though that they they busted their ass preparing for this, and they're now taking a week off, I think, to clean up. And
good for them. Yeah.
No, fair play to them.
This ties into the next question. Petrillo wanted to know if we'll be doing any EPL or MLS get-togethers. I think that goes in with our ITAP relationship. Yeah, we'll do some get-togethers centered around big EPL games or the MLS Cup or ways to get together throughout the off season of the Lions leading into the STLFC season. So plenty of...
John's interested in drinking beer, I think.
Plenty of... Yeah, we heard you. Plenty of reasons to get together. So that will be that.
I was at ITAP for the Colombia-Uruguay game, and Joe Chambers was there. And mm-hmm. Just me, Joe, and Colin Show. And I got to ITAP, and, you know, they got, like, 60 beers on tap, and I'm like, what do I like? Do you have Zwickel? No. Do you have... You know, what do you... I don't know what to drink. And they're like, well, what do you like? And I'm like, I don't like IPAs, so I'm not a hoppy person, and I don't like stouts. And they're like, well, try this. It's a Stegel. I'm like, oh, I've had Stegel before. Mm-hmm. But it's only 3%, though. Not if you put vodka in it. That is a great idea.
Matt Gria.
Next up, Greg wants to know, and this is a serious question, something that I don't have an answer for yet, but hopefully we will. Greg's wanting to know, where are we going to go after STLFC games for after parties?
Pilot truck stop.
Maybe. Right now, we don't have any local bar. When AC St. Louis was there, we used to go to that little Fenton Bar and Grill. I don't think that'll be big enough for the crowds we're going to have now.
I don't think so either.
So hopefully, maybe our friends ITAP will open up a Fenton location. That would be ideal.
Hint, hint, hint.
But if not, maybe the team will partner with a local bar.
Just go down to the river and huck rocks at boats.
Yeah, yeah. Do they have train tracks? Rocco could be in for that. So, Greg, I don't know, but we will be looking
into
that.
I mean, there's a lot of bars in the area, but, you know, like you said, we're going to need a large enough place.
So we'll probably look to see what our friends, St. Louis FC, if they get a partner.
I was going to say, or talk them into just having a post-game tent.
Yeah, we could do that too. Pat Ryan again wanted to know, we talked a little bit about who we would like to see signed for STLFC, and we kind of said Ambers Lee was kind of that ideal type of player.
Freddie Adu,
looking for a team.
I'm sure there's a Turkish third division that'll let us have him.
Right now, no, he's wanting to know, are there any local players right now? And but what he means by that, Lions, Bordeaux.
Number 11, Bordeaux, Emmanuel Forbes. I've already talked to Dale about him.
So there you go.
I'm like, Dale, have you seen that number 11? And before I'd even finished the conversation, Dale's like, Emmanuel Forbes, yeah, seen him.
So we do know that Dale's been out both to Bordeaux games and Lions games. We know Jeremy's come out and looked at him. Somebody for the Lions I might mention is Vadim.
Yes, he's had a hell of a season again.
He's been putting goals in. He's been nominated for Player of the Week. Not hasn't won it, but he's been nominated for Player of the Week or Team of the Week several times. Somebody to look at. You know, I don't know.
That's the weird and awesome thing about the area is that we have so much talent that it's hard to actually just say, yes.
Well, and it's hard because I don't honestly know what the level of play is in that division.
Yeah, and you don't know who would be able to step up and just take it to another level, you know.
But that's also the cool thing that we're looking at is that this is all going to be new to everybody.
Yeah. Well, and I mean, two guys that I like personally, Alan and Ernad, both playing for Bordeaux now. I mean, I like the guys. I've seen them play forever with the Lions and now with Bordeaux. They're solid for what they are, but I don't know if that is that
translates level
of talent. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but I think...
And they're not even standouts maybe where they're at now.
Johnny Brown.
But that's how quick I was able to say Emmanuel Forbes, because
he is
that difference.
You know, he makes your eyes go... Ping, you know,
and that's the other thing too.
And Bordeaux know it. They getting the ball whenever they can.
Right.
And we're still, I mean, we're only talking about two samples. Mm-hmm. There's still the U18 teams that are out there that those guys in 2 years may be ready, the colleges.
True, we could also talk about Ambush because a lot of those guys play outdoor and indoor.
Look at Andres Acosta. I mean,
yeah, he's a guy that played for Ambush. He played for Piasau. He played for Lions. Now he's playing down in Arizona.
But you just know that Pajamas Boy from the Lions tryouts is just licking his lips waiting to go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Taco tryouts.
I guess the answer to that, Pat, is I don't know, but I wouldn't be surprised if some of the guys that we've seen are at least in the running.
Lampard's not got a clip.
Yeah, Lampard.
I'll pass.
You know, you mentioned Freddie Adu, and
it wouldn't be the stranger things have happened.
You know, yeah. I think Freddie probably is at NASL level right now, but will his ego take that hit? I think he'd rather go play, you know, like
third
you said,
third
level Turkish division than come home and be a failure here. He can still say he's playing overseas if he goes over there.
But I can go play in a rec league in Amsterdam. I'm still playing overseas.
No,
you
I know.
Know. I mean,
well, but
Freddie, it's time, dude. Yeah.
He had a trial. The news today was his trial with AZ is over. So people thought maybe he'd hook up with Aaron Johansson over there. Nope, they don't want him. Bob Bradley's team in, Norway? Is that where he is?
Yeah, Stallbacken.
They took a pass on him after having him in for a couple of weeks. Blackpool passed on him, and he's running out of options.
And it wouldn't be bad just for the hype, the ticket sales, and it really would.
Here's the thing. I still think the kid's got talent. I mean, it's been a while now, but at the under-23s, whatever that was, 4 years ago, 5 years ago.
Oh, that's good. How old is he? That's a good question.
He's still young.
I mean, he was
playing, to the Google machine.
He was playing for the U.S. national team in the Gold Cup three years ago.
I mean, Benfica signed him. That went horrible. Then he moved on to one of the Aris, the Greek club, and a Turkish club, and it just snowballed down and down and down. But
he's only 25.
Yeah, no, remember he turned pro when he was 13.
Yeah.
I mean,
I mean, at 25, there's still some years left in those legs.
And we can say they botched everything about signing a 13-year-old.
And then some.
Nike wanted a poster boy, and that's what he became. But I don't think he's done. But he's going to have to swallow some pride. I think part of his problem now is his head.
It's still better than being a welder for a living.
Oh,
so
yeah, he made tons of money over the years, and you know. And like I said, he could still come back, rehab his career, and get back to MLS. I mean, he was with Philly not too long ago. That didn't go well. But again, from everything I hear, it was an attitude problem. It wasn't that he didn't have the skill on the ball. It was that he couldn't get along with the coaches. And that comes with telling a 13-year-old, you're the next Pele.
Exactly.
So he's got to get his own head right. He's got to accept the fact that he's never going to be Pele.
What they said he was going to be.
He's going to be a journeyman level player. And like you said, better than a welder.
But yeah, there's nothing wrong with being a journeyman pro.
Nothing at all. And look at Kyle Beckerman. Look at Brad Davis. Those guys were journeyman pro who eventually maybe punched above their weight and got to the World Cup. Not saying he'll ever get back to the World Cup, but
I'd love some of them England players to punch above their weight. But Rooney's got some weight.
But at 25, Freddie could still have a nice career for himself.
But he needs to find a team that's going to pay him, $1,000 a week and go have two solid years. Just play football, keep your head down. Don't look over your shoulder to see what third division
don't think of this as a stepping stone.
Just play. And play for 2 years.
Well, and that's, I mean, we can talk about, there were rumors, I don't know if it was last summer, if it was, I don't know when it was, but that the Atlanta Silverbacks and NASL were interested in him, and with Wijnaldum as coach. And as much as I think Wijnaldum is full of shit sometimes, Wijnaldum might be the kind of guy that could get through to Freddie. An egomaniac, a guy that will tell Freddie, no, I was better than you ever were, because Ronaldo will tell that to anybody.
But he was better than when,
well, no, true. But I mean, a very strong personality coach mm-hmm. might be able to get through to him. You know what I mean?
But
I don't
but
know.
They used the on the thread they were using the term go to Atlanta to rejuvenate your career. Don't go to Atlanta to rejuvenate. Go to Atlanta to play. Right. That is your career. Right.
And
that is where you're at.
And if everything works out, maybe.
You know, maybe.
Maybe. But let's not even focus on it. You're right. Just focus on playing.
Because that is your career right here, right now.
Right.
And
you haven't earned more. I mean, maybe it wasn't your fault the way everything went down, but you haven't proven you've earned more.
Uh-huh.
So, I don't know. Next question from Jeff. I always mispronounce his name, Koeniger or Koeniger. I'm not sure how you pronounce it. You know, this is one of those questions that he wants to know about alternative ways to end a World Cup. Speaking of going to extra time and then going to penalties.
Well, I mean, what you do, you put your media in total blackout media lockdown, and then you have your state media say that you're going to play Portugal in the final.
Right, yeah.
An alternate way.
We have been remiss. We did not congratulate North Korea for winning the World Cup.
Again.
No, Jeff wanted to know, and it always comes up because somehow penalty kicks, while dramatic, don't seem to be a real true test. It seems to be almost a flip of a coin or whatever. But really, I don't know what else you can do because after 120 minutes, those guys are dead.
Yeah, and if you lose, I'm the worst guy to talk to. I'm.
Well, yeah, you don't want anything to do with penalties.
but if you can't win a game in 120 minutes, you can't complain when you lose on penalties.
Well, yeah.
You know,
he mentioned golden goal. I like golden goal. I mean, I don't have a problem with that.
See, I do as well.
But you still don't. I mean, you're still in that position where once you're in extra time, those teams clamp down. They don't want to make a mistake and lose, which is why a lot of times when you go into extra time, it eventually does go to penalties because it's cagey, it's tight. You know, I don't know what you can do. You can't make these guys run forever. Yeah, you could give them an extra sub, but really that doesn't alleviate the problem. I mean, you've still got 9 guys out there who are dead tired.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I can't say any. It does suck, and I've been on the receiving end of it so many times.
Yeah.
I mean, it does suck, but it is what it is.
I guess I don't have an alternative that will work. I mean,
but also, when you don't have a dog in the fight, the Chile-Brazil shootout was very dramatic.
They're all very dramatic. I mean, and it's nail-biting, and it's, I mean, mm-hmm. we've all been at a bar with people who aren't even really soccer fans. They get into the penalty shootout, you know. And I mean, I do too. I'm not, like you said, as long as it's not your team as long as it's not your team losing. If your team wins the penalty shootout, that's okay too. But
it blows when you lose them.
Yeah.
Oh, it's heartbreaking.
But I tell you what, though, I'd rather lose on penalties than have the sudden finality of a golden goal, and that's it, we're done.
Yeah, well, think about Dempsey's first goal against Ghana, how that happened so quickly off of the kickoff. Uh-huh. And if that was the extra time, it's like ding ding dunk, it's over.
Tell you what, Brazil would have loved a golden goal against Germany. One and done, right? We're done, no more humiliation.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, maybe that's a question for another episode is, should we bring in the humiliation rule in soccer? You down by 5 after 20 minutes?
Mercy
it's
rule.
Time to call it.
What's the worst way to lose on penalties? Losing 7-1 in a semifinal when you're hosting the tournament.
Yeah. That was not good.
Oh, it was hilarious.
Well, I mean,
it wasn't good for Brazil, but it was good for the rest of us.
Hey, I was just thankful there weren't riots in the street that night.
You know,
there may be an economic depression that follows out of this, but
you know when you see a car crash on the other side of the freeway and you all slow down to have a watch? That's what it felt like, because you were watching it. You felt like you were seeing an accident.
And it was
a horrific 7-car pileup.
And I was still at work, and my boss had said, you know, come over to this bar and meet me. We'll watch the game. Uh-huh. And I was like, you know, I got some stuff to do. I'll come over at halftime, you know, figuring it would be, you know, a nil-nil game still at half. And I've got the ESPN app, and it's like, ding, Oh, wow. Germany scored. Ding, ding. Oh, Germany scored twice.
Like, all of a sudden, it sounds like a casino.
It was a goddamn pinball machine in my pocket. And I was like, I texted him. I'm like, well, it's 30 minutes in, and they're already down 5-0. How about I just save that vacation time for another day? I mean, that was ridiculous.
And Jason McAdams retweeted something from a Colombian journalist who said it the best. He said, Brazil wanted to host this World Cup to get over the national embarrassment of 1950. They've spent a ton of money just to be humiliated even more.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
For the national psyche, it's going to live with all those guys.
This really was supposed to be their redemption. I mean, I know I mock
MLS sometimes. And I remember on one of the threads, and I was trying to find it for the life of me, someone said, Julio Cesar is an MLS keeper.
Yeah.
And I'm like, and I wanted to go back and say, Julio Cesar is an MLS keeper.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. I mean, and honestly, I don't think it would have made a difference in the end result if Silva was there, but I don't think it would have been that bad.
Couldn't have hurt.
The stat that got me most from that game.
Yeah, but you see, in the game against Holland, he gave a penalty away after 8 minutes and could have been sent off.
That's true. But the stat that stuck out to me most from that Brazil Germany game, aside from 7-1, that's a pretty impressive stat. Germany was not called offsides once. How disorganized is your back line when the team is running at you that hard and that many times?
Having watched the game, if you say you didn't watch it, Germany were embarrassed for Brazil.
Yeah.
Because they're going to have to go back to Europe and they're going to all know each other and they're all friends and they all go off to the Swiss Alps skiing in the winter breaks and stuff. They all know each other. And there's a professional pride involved of not beating up on your fellow colleagues. You know, if you're a carpenter, would you ever go up to another carpenter and say, hey, that's crap? You know, I mean, there's a certain
amount. Have you met John? Come on.
There's a certain amount of professionalism where it's like, I don't want to beat up on you anymore.
Well, and I heard another podcast talking about this today, and they were like, yeah, but the way they were coming, it was like, which is more embarrassing, if I turn around and just kick it the other way?
I mean,
you know,
you don't want to be condescending either.
Well,
yeah,
right? that would have been.
And they were like, one fell, two fell, three fell, four fell. And then it was like, oh, shit, we don't need to keep scoring goals because they're not coming back. I mean, you know, like, you want to score every chance you can because you never know. But at a certain point, it was like, this is silly.
And that's the thing, too, is that if you start fucking around at that point in time, it's going to carry over bad, so you can't not. But you don't expect to beat a team in the semifinals that badly.
But I do think I did go back and watch the game later. I do think Germany let up a little bit.
I think so.
I'm sure they did.
It was like, okay, we're only going to score volleys from now on.
I mean,
just headers only.
And somebody else mentioned, you know, maybe the coach gave that, you know, like when you're in Little League soccer, and he's like,
three pass rule.
I want to see 20 passes before a shot. You know, I mean,
that's what it felt like. I mean, we sit here and scoff, but that is exactly what it felt like.
And not only that, but can you imagine? I mean, it reminds me of what was it, the 85 World Series after the Don Denkinger call when the Cardinals went out the next game seven and shit the bed.
Man.
You know, but just to have, you're riding such a high, and then just to have the floor collapse underneath you. And
I mean, God love Brazil, the players. That was an impossible standard to begin with.
No question.
They not that they aren't a good team, not that they couldn't have won the World Cup if everything went right, but they definitely weren't the most talented team on paper.
It's not the best Brazil team in the past 15 years.
Right. And they were expected to win the World Cup. I mean, there was a lot of pressure on those guys. And like you said, I mean, we could name three or four teams that on paper anyway were better teams going into the tournament. So, I mean, one of those was Spain. And look how that went. But
I don't even know if Spain was them.
Well, no. But, I mean, as far as world-class players, you know, I mean, Germany, Holland, you know.
France.
I wrote that piece about my predictions that all went mentally out the window within the first week.
And you weren't the only one, my friend.
But my predictions also were, when people were talking about the possibility of the U.S. going forward, you know, making ground in this World Cup. I was like, you know, by the quarterfinals, the same protagonists are going to be at the, you know, the final four was the
and they
elite
were
of the
they were the big
and
boys,
that's what it should be within reason.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, at that point, no offense to Brazil, I mean, they could have lost 2-1, and mm-hmm. it still would have been, I can't believe they didn't win. You know, I mean,
they did look a bit like, you know, if we can wish it enough, if we can, you know, sing loud enough, if we can hold the shirt up high enough, you know.
Well, and then there's the whole, I didn't like their tribute to Messi, like he died.
Neymar. They wish Messi died.
Yeah, well, yeah. But I mean, it was like, oh my God, Neymar's not here, we can't win. You know what I mean? The crying.
It was a little
and
cult
the,
of personality about it, wasn't
yeah.
it?
Yes, very much
and,
so.
I mean, I get that he's a special player, but you move
not,
on. You know, I mean,
well,
we lost Josie. We went with Plan B. I mean, it may not have been the best Plan B, but it was the Plan B.
But imagine if you're Neymar's substitute, you know, and they're holding up his shirt next to you.
Right. Yeah, it was just weird, I thought. Yeah.
Anyway, well done, North Korea.
All right. We're out of questions now, so let's talk about the big one. Wednesday night, we had a special event.
Did we?
Yep.
Last Wednesday night? Was it at ITAP?
It was at ITAP Soulard.
Woohoo!
Our friends, St. Louis FC, said, let's have a little get-together, sort of a meet-and-greet. We were going to
have
Q&A sessions with fans, chance for some new Luligans to come out and meet everybody. And
chance for new people to come out and meet us?
Well, yeah, exactly. And they took that opportunity to present us with the first season ticket ever.
How fucking awesome
for
is
St.
That?
Louis FC. Pretty cool.
To show that level of respect for us, again, not having done a single thing yet, really, other than do what we do, for them to just say this relationship is that important that we're going to, granted, symbolize it.
Yeah,
but we're going to symbolize it with this motion. And that's an amazing thing for us. I don't think people really quite realized how important it is to have that number one season ticket. I mean, you think of the PDLs that other teams have, or PDLs, PSLs.
Right.
You know, tickets are a big, big deal. So for them to take the honor of number one.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
Well, yeah, and I mean. There's any list of people it could be. I mean, there's people that are paying $750 a seat. You know, they could have given it to the owner of the damn team. I mean, you know, I mean, could have given it to a lot of people.
They could have given it to a Scott Gallagher player. They could have given it to
A St. Louis soccer legend. Yeah,
or, you know.
So I mean, that
could have given it to Freddie Adu.
Could have given it to Freddie Adu. So no, I think it was a big deal. We also, along with that, got some information about the supporter section.
We did trade jerseys with them.
Yes, we gave them the USL Pro 15 St. Luligan jersey.
The number 15 retired in their honor.
Yes. And they gave us number one St. Luligan St. Louis FC jersey. So.
And Jeremy did take the opportunity to make a crack on Matt Madden losing his Luligan jersey.
Yeah.
Which, you know, again, something super special there. When he's making the same jokes that we make. Busting chops, you know, we got a lucky relationship here.
It was a good night. The coach was there, Coach Chili, and talked to us all.
He remembers your name, and you can't remember his name.
Here's the goddamn thing, John. I wasn't going to say Coach Chili, but you threw that out there, so then you made me lose my train of thought.
Welcome to This Is Chili with the Luligans.
Exactly. No, Coach Chili was there, talked about the fans, how important the fans were to the players when they're recruiting players. They want to know about the supporters groups. You know, it's become an issue.
He got calls from old players who were, you know, vying for a spot, you know, trying to sweeten up their former coach who asked if we were still around.
So, that's good to know. So part of our season ticket package, we will get a special scarf.
Co-branded.
So I'm assuming one side will be St. Louis FC related and the other side will be St. Luligan related. They're going to work on away game travel for us. So much like we're going to take this trip to Indy, if there's a local game, I'm thinking something like Louisville. Maybe
Tulsa.
The team will get a bus and we can all ride down together.
Private jet to Los Dos.
Well, of course.
Private jet to Los Dos. We're also going to do watch parties probably at ITAP. And there will be special things that they work out for that.
He talked about having a co-branded pint glass.
Yeah, something like that. People were asking me, and it didn't come up at the meeting, but I do want to reemphasize parking. Parking is free with your supporters package season ticket. So it won't be the preferred VIP parking that you get if you buy the really expensive seats, but just general parking at the stadium will be free.
They're going to do special events like before games, after games, meet and greet with the players.
Yeah, a tailgate situation will be set up just for the supporters section.
One of the greatest things that he mentioned that I was incredibly happy to hear, and Brad kind of touched on this topic earlier, and Jeremy had never even mentioned it to us in all of our conversations, was he's like, you guys want to paint that first TIFO? We've got the space for you to do it here. I mean, that's pretty cool, you know.
Yeah, it's hard to paint those things in a basement. Yeah. You need a big parking lot or you need a big, you know, warehouse area, and Soccer Park has tons of room for us to use.
And he was just like, you know, you got, you know, if you need to have a general meeting with all the membership, you can have it here. You know, he was very upfront about that's our park too.
Yeah. Also things like storage for
drums,
things like that will be available to us as the supporter section. And just the use of the park in general, in addition for, like you said, meetings or TIFO, the charity match. We had a nice charity match with American Outlaws not too long ago. We'll be able to use the soccer park facilities for things like that. So,
John, you can't play this year. We're not letting you play. No, you are not in form. Your ankle is barely in form.
Your form is bent. So that was good. Good information. Good night.
It was a great night. It really was. And I usually have to skedoodle off home from, you know, to be with the kiddo after events like that. I really didn't want to leave. I wanted to hang out. I wanted to chat.
We had the new blue shirts there. If you haven't seen them, it's the old St. Luligan logo from the first shirt on the front. On the back, it's got the Fighting Chupacabra logo. I mean, the team members that were there, in addition to Jeremy, the GM, Shilly, the coach, Petcher was there. Rick Barry was there.
Rick Barry?
Oh, what did I?
You said Rick Barry. That's a basketball player.
Oh.
Isn't it Tim?
Now
we're all screwed.
Now I'm confused. I'll have to look it up. Patrick Barry?
Patrick Barry. That's it.
Anyway, tons of people were there.
Interns
were there. They all loved the Fighting Chupacabra t-shirt. They think it's hilarious that we're calling them that. You know, they get it. They get the joke. They're in on it. They're not, you know.
They listen to the podcast.
They listen to the podcast.
If they do listen to the podcast, those white polo shirts they were wearing, they were very nice. I'd like a 2X, please. Yeah.
They also have the Navy one. I saw it when I picked up ours. They're very nice, too, as well. I might have to pick one of those up.
The dry fit one I got the other day, I actually got it from Amsterdam. They were outside hawking their gear outside Amsterdam. And the dry fit training jersey is very nice.
I do want to mention they do still have that merchandise for sale at the Soccer Park merchandise store. I don't know.
Yeah, it's on the backside. If you go into the there's
like Manchester United, the mega store.
The mega store, yes.
Yeah, when you go into the facility at the first entrance, it would have been the entrance that's closest to Section 8 for those familiar.
Yeah.
If you go in there and hang a left, it's right there on the corner. They've got three racks, I believe it was, of STLFC stuff going, and they're going to keep getting more and more and more as they can.
And they told us to tell you all that they're working on the online store, so those of you who want to order online and have it shipped to you, it will be coming soon.
And Wednesday night, one of the other things I wanted to mention, too, is that they had one of their camera guys there who was filming stuff, and at first I was watching him do his thing, and I was like, man, he's just kind of run and gun gorilla taping stuff here, and he asked questions of a handful of people, and the very next morning, I mean, it was like 8 o'clock, I believe it was, maybe 9 o'clock, the video goes up on YouTube. A fantastic video. I highly recommend you go out there and check it out. If you YouTube St. Louis FC or STL FC, it'll come up in your search. It's a great little video where, you know, a lot of the things that we just talked about were captured. Talks to Coach, talks to Jeremy, talks to a sexy man named Brad. You know,
a sweaty man named Brad. Those lights were hot.
Oh, my God. But it's neat that, you know, they had this in 12 hours. They turn it around and get it out there. So go check it out. You know, the more YouTube hits, the better for them. Obviously, everything that we do that we can improve their status with potential investors, sponsors, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, definitely. If you're not If you haven't liked the page on Facebook or followed them on Twitter, please go do that. Helps them, like Mitch says, when they're attracting sponsors, that they have a number of likes, a number of followers.
And I do want to give a quick shout out too from Wednesday night. I want to single out Dave Corbett specifically.
Yeah, Dave was a monster.
A hell of an ambassador. I know he spent a chunk and was shaking hands and buying beers.
He spent close to $100 of his own money out of his own pocket to introduce new people, buy them a beer using true free beer movement politics. But no, I mean, things like that, they often get overlooked. I know a lot of people do stuff.
I want to credit Jack. Jack was walking around saying hi to people. Liz did.
Yeah.
We met a couple that was really great. They were completely new to it. They were excited. And you know, we're reaching out to a lot of different people from all walks of life here. And having all of the old schoolers make the new people feel at home, that's the most important thing we can do during all this. So it was wonderful to watch kind of as a third party at times to see everybody doing their part to make everyone feel welcome and comfortable.
And I will say, just because I know Dave had a hefty bar tab that night, do me a favor. Next time you're out somewhere, buy Dave a beer. let's pay him back one at a time. Not all at once, but, you know, slowly pay him back, because he did spend a lot of money that night.
He also brought four people to the Bordeaux game on Friday.
Yeah, he's been doing a lot of work.
But that's it. Everybody can do their part, and kudos
and
to Dave.
That's
we'll
part
get him
of
the week.
Part of the ceremonial season ticket we got is exactly for that purpose. Dave brought four people to Bordeaux, you said the other day. You know, I want everybody bringing a friend or bringing, you know, maybe not even somebody who's necessarily interested in soccer, but think might have a good time.
Coworker, family.
Friend, family. And we will use that at least once a week. We will use that season ticket to get somebody in for free. We may have some extra passes too here and there. You know, we're going to work things like that out. But we at least want to give somebody a free ticket to the game every week. And free beer movement, give them a beer, and have a good time out at the games.
And if you haven't bought your season or put your deposit down for your season ticket, you need to do it.
Yeah, it's $50.
Time's starting to count here. Again, all those numbers mean something to the bean counters.
Yeah, go to stlouisfc.com. Spell out Saint and Louis. And then you can put your deposit down, $50 for a season ticket.
If you want to put more down for multiple tickets, you can as well. That's fine, too.
But our season ticket is going to be $150.
Which is a bargain.
Oh, it's un-fucking-believable. More than fair value. More than fair value.
So do that. And also, everybody, if you haven't done so already, if you go to the St. Louis FC website, they've got a survey up right now. It takes a while. There's several questions, but if you go through and answer them all, you can win. They're giving away an iPad. They're giving away a scarf. They're giving away a jersey.
Yeah.
But it helps them, again, as they're moving forward, attracting sponsors. I mean, just ask simple things like what's important to you at the game day experience and, you know, what's not important to you.
And it's also a moment to give your say on these things, too.
Yeah, because they're trying to figure out what they really need to focus on, you know. So, you know, we don't need a bouncy castle.
No.
But if you've got kids and you want to bring your kids, maybe a bouncy castle is important to you.
When you do the thing, number one, beer garden, number eight. Eight at the bottom is Vuvuzelas.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, it's they're trying to, not just us, they're trying to appeal to all fans, and they're seeing what fans think is important. So, please, go to St. Louis FC and fill out that survey.
Yeah, and again, they're wanting to work with us. Let's work with them in return. You know, let's do these little things like the survey. It takes 10 minutes. You can do that while watching TV or jerking off or whatever it is.
I will just say now, when people say, you know, how do I get involved? This is already your team, okay? This is your high match.
Oh, sorry you broke me.
Yay, I broke
my iPad. But if my iPad's on the survey, never mind. We'll just leave it.
Why would you be doing a survey to win an iPad on an iPad?
That's a good point.
Do you really want a scarf bad?
There are so many things wrong with what happened in the last 5 minutes that I think Jeremy would prefer if we just ended it there.
No.
No, but but dude, like their Facebook page, like their posts. Hey, while you're there, like our Facebook page and like our posts.
And our Twittering.
Because the way Facebook algorithms work these days, it used to be nice and simple. If you posted something, people would see it.
Uh-huh.
Now you post something, people might not see it unless it gets the certain number of likes or it gets a certain number of, you know, shares or comments or so. You know, even if it's something that you don't particularly like it. No, I'm just kidding.
Well, we don't have the money to monetize our posts.
Yeah, no, we're not paying to boost our posts and things like that. So it is nice when I see something that, you know, on our page it says, you know, 3,000 people saw this. That's nice to think that it's reaching out beyond, you know, our normal sphere. So we want to get all those people who like soccer in St. Louis to know what's going on, because we still have to do a job of promoting this team. Not everybody knows about it. So
based on the past month or two, there's a lot of people watching soccer.
Yeah. So let's share soccer stuff, share stuff from St. Louis FC so people know about it. Share the goodness.
Share the goodness. Anything else on your list, Brad?
No, my list is done.
Bird?
I'm good.
You sure?
Yeah.
All right.
ST Lulligans.
Plug the upcoming podcast. Don't forget, we're going to do a World Cup special with Andy Gebhardt and
Ryan Smith. Wow,
sorry.
You're going downhill fast.
I really
here.
Am. From American Outlaws, they're going to tell us all about the fun they had both in Brazil and in St. Louis. Then the week after, or 2 weeks after that, we're going to have from the front office of St. Louis FC and St. Louis Steamers Hall of Fame. I don't know if he's technically in the Hall of Fame.
17 U.S. men's national team caps.
Got 17 caps, so he might have some opinions on the World Cup, too. Steve Petcher.
And we've got lots of things to go over in the offseason, too, as well, too. We'll have Jeremy on quite frequently, I'm sure. We still got to have Jim Shipley on to wrap things up. There's a lot of good pod coming up.
Yeah, maybe we get Lindsay on to kind of wrap up their season. I know we wanted to get her on before the season, but things just got out of hand. Didn't have time to get her on, so maybe she'd come on, tell us about her season. And, I don't know, maybe Sonny again. Sonny might, you know, recap Bordeaux season. So.
Oh, why would he come on when he's got his number one color commentary
That's
guy
true.
Sitting here?
That's true.
Is he going to do any better?
I doubt it, but maybe bring us some more beer.
I did like that Bird was posting selfies from the broadcast booth. That was probably my favorite part. You're a focused broadcaster.
You know, how many people will listen to it, do you think, really?
Me.
Two. Me and Brad.
Well, I could have just phoned you and told you what was going on.
Do that from now on. Whenever you're at a game, just call me and do play-by-play.
You know, just text me.
You know, there was a guy when I was growing up that used to sit in Kmart and turn the TVs down and did the play-by-play in the TV section. Now, they said he was special. I don't know if Bird's that special, but he can do the play-by-play. That's all I got.
I'm good with that.
Well, okay, well, thanks for listening, everybody. Again, this is Brad.
Mitch.
And?
Wazzo.
Who?
I'm going to Quebec.
He's going to Quebec.
Oh, Jesus.
So, thanks for listening, and tell a friend.
It's keep on Canada.
It's business. It's business time.
I know what you're trying to say. You're trying to say it's time for business. It's business time.
Ooh, it's business.